Welcome to Truth for Today. We begin a new series today entitled Some Coverings of Scripture. The first talk is called The Covering of Adam and Eve. The speaker is David Pullman.
Good morning. Today we start a new series of four talks on the subject of Some Coverings of Scripture. The first talk will start with Adam and Eve and the covering or clothing that God provided. Talks 2 and 3 will consider the various coverings that were used on the tabernacle, and talk 4 will look at the subject of head covering. This morning's talk on the covering for Adam and Eve will be considered under the following four headings: the Genesis event, the coats of skin, the covering for Adam and Eve, the impact on Christians, the impact on the world. Genesis provides the background as to why Adam and Eve needed a covering from God. This will include Satan's opposition, the apparent defeat of God's plans, God's remedy, and God's judgment upon all concerned, Satan, depicted as a serpent, and Adam and Eve. By way of introduction to our subject, we should mention that the first three chapters of Genesis are immensely important to Christians. We are introduced to a creator God. The Hebrew word used is Elohim, meaning God plural, as in the triune God or Trinity. We are instructed in the process and detail of creation, which, as Christians, we should accept by faith. Included in this creation is Adam and also Eve, who was formed from the side of Adam. We see that Adam is given the responsibility to control and watch over creation. This is something that, in general terms, mankind has failed to do. In fact, the opposite is true. Mankind has acted irresponsibly, with destruction and carelessness in God's creation. However, in the early time of creation, the environment was very different to what we have today. It is in the third chapter that we are introduced to Satan, who is totally destructive in his ways. He is presented as a serpent, a name which is used in Scripture as symbolic of deceitfulness. In the book of Revelation, we have his names brought together. Chapter 20 states, "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. As you read through the Bible, you will come across these names, which all refer to the same person: the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, and Lucifer, his original name before he rebelled against God. The Genesis event. In chapter 3, we have recorded the serpent's attack. It is not open hostility. He uses the subtle approach by questioning what God has said. Verse 1. In my opening remarks, I mentioned creation. I wonder how many listeners accept the biblical view of creation, created in 6 days, and God rested the seventh day. While visiting my daughter recently, I joined in a house Bible study group, and during the study I mentioned about creation in Genesis 1, holding the literal meaning of 6 days. There was at least one person who thought it was ridiculous. Well, I believe in a God of power and ability. Just as Jesus stilled a storm instantly by just speaking, I believe God in Genesis chapter 1 spoke in creation and it was done instantly. What kind of God do you believe in? The woman's answer in verses 2 and 3 embellishes what God said in chapter 2 verse 17. This was the fatal mistake of which the Bible warns about, twice in Deuteronomy and once in both Proverbs and Revelation. Once the serpent had moved Eve off the solid foundation of the pure and simple word of God, then she was open to his contradiction of what God had said. Verse 4. Verse 5 brings in the challenge that God was hiding something better from her. With this doubt in her mind, the next step was disobedience, and so sin against a holy God. With that, we have the sad destructive legacy that is with us today. Sinners by nature, under condemnation, and the only remedy is repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work of redemption. The impact upon Adam and Eve was dramatic. Verse 7 states that when they ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened. They now perceived what sinning against God had done to them. Previously, in innocence, the fact that they wore no clothes was not a concern. No doubt the climate was such that clothing was obviously not needed. Now they were embarrassed and ashamed. They felt exposed and vulnerable. Their remedy was to sow leaves together. But when they heard God walking in the garden, they realized that leaves might cover their bodies, but their conscience was still exposed, so they hid themselves. Previously, they were very happy to meet God, but now they were afraid. God looks for them and calls out for Adam. Adam has to confront his failure. He has to speak with God, and God has to challenge them both about the reason for hiding, which is their nakedness. He challenges them about eating the forbidden fruit. Nakedness is symbolic for the exposure a sinner feels when confronted by a holy God. God stands for everything that is good, and he is totally the opposite of what we are as sinners. Hiding from God is what all sinners do. The first step in being reconciled to God is being confronted with what we are before a holy God. This is the painful working towards repentance. In verses 12 and 13, we have the classic blame game. We see it all the time in the news. It is always the fault of someone else. The result of the blame game is the compensation culture of today. Adam blames both God and Eve. Eve blames the serpent. Both Adam and Eve have choices, as we do today. If we make the wrong choice, then we have to live with our mistakes. This is the reality of life. What were the consequences? Verses 14 and 15 give God's judgment on the serpent. Verse 15 also speaks of things to come, the crucifixion of Christ and the final judgment on Satan. Verse 16 is a rather sad verse to my mind. God's intention in chapter 2 was that the woman he had created would stand alongside the man, and together they would be one perfect whole. Not in the sense that they were imperfect as individuals, but their completeness was enhanced as each complemented the other. There was no companionship within the animal creation that satisfied human requirements. The end of chapter 2 states that the completeness and union of a man and a woman is the basis for marriage. This is what God intended, and it was established before sin came in. Marriage, as God intended, was reaffirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19, where he deals with both marriage and divorce. See also Mark chapter 10. Sorrow and pain are the particular consequences for Eve. Also, Adam was given the senior role in this marriage partnership, but he does not escape God's punishment. Verses 17 to 19 speak of greater consequences because he listened to Eve and ate the fruit instead of helping her to refuse the serpent's temptation. The whole of creation was affected, and Adam was placed in the position of having to work and provide for his wife and subsequent family. The sorrow or toil of working was placed on Adam, and his food would come through his hard labour. So very different to the Garden of Eden, where food was plentiful and only needed gathering. Additionally, the ground would no longer be as productive. Thorns and thistles would now grow, and no doubt would be a constant source of irritation and reminder of his failure. The coats of skin. In verse 21, we come to the point where God makes coats of skins for Adam and Eve. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. By implication, we have the first sacrifice mentioned in the Bible. The skins must have come from a dead animal. It is God who makes the sacrifice, not Adam. It was God who knew the seriousness and extent of what had happened. Not only was creation affected, but Adam had broken the close relationship he had with God. They would never again walk together in the garden. Work replaced the paradise of the garden. The garden would become a no-go area for Adam and Eve, as God drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Verse 24. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, we have the statement that creation was subjected to futility or frailty, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Creation itself would be under failure until the time of Christ's kingdom. Then the curse on creation will be lifted, and the world will blossom and be fruitful like it has never been since the Garden of Eden. Throughout the Bible, there are references to a specific sacrifice that God would require. For the nation of Israel, God gave a series of sacrifices that the Israelites needed to keep. In themselves, these sacrifices were not effective in removing sin, but illustrated what was required. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, Abraham responded to Isaac, his son, with a wonderful statement. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Then in John chapter 1, verse 29, we have the statement from John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." We see here what God had in mind from the very beginning, when the Son of God, in manhood, came to be the sacrifice for sin. As Peter in his first epistle states, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Chapter 1. In order to have a relationship with God the Father, we need to be covered by the sacrifice of Christ. This becomes true when we accept Jesus as our Saviour. This involves repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20. Once Christ has become my Saviour, then I am considered to be in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 states, "There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Being in Christ is the secure and eternal standing we have before God. This is true from the moment we believe. Never again can a believer be found under condemnation. Sinners are under condemnation because they have not trusted Christ. There are over 70 references in the scriptures to Christians being in Christ. God is focused upon Christ, and the eternal purposes are fulfilled in him. Salvation, blessing, redemption, and resurrection are all true for those who are in Christ. When God clothed Adam and Eve, it not only made them suitable for his presence, but it was a little picture of the reality that when Christ accomplished salvation, it was then possible for people to be eternally suited for heaven. All God's purposes are fulfilled in Christ. The impact on Christians. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, we have teaching on the role of Christian women, their testimony and their relationship to men, specifically their husband. These verses and other similar verses have over the years proved to be controversial and sometimes rejected as not for today. Well, we have a choice. Accept what God says in his word or reject it. This is the Adam and Eve situation all over again. Timothy had been sent to the Christian fellowship at Ephesus to give further instruction on behaviour in the assembly and the home. In verses 8 to 14, the teaching links back to what God said in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. Verses 8 to 10 state, I desire, therefore, that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. The way the woman is to dress, not to draw attention to self, but to let her godly character shine out and to symbolically cover herself with good works as intended by God. The woman was to do those things that bring glory to God. In verse 11, an often misunderstood verse, we read, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. A voluntary submission. It is what the godly Christian woman would want to do. The word submission means a voluntary attitude of giving into, cooperating with, assuming appropriate responsibility, and sharing in burden carrying. There is no implied suggestion of an overbearing husband or father demanding conformity by subjugating a person with fear. In every sphere of life, a Christian is expected to exhibit love. Verse 12 expands on the previous verse that Christian women do not have roles of teaching or authority in the church. It is in verses 12 to 13 that the above instruction is linked to God's judgment in the Garden of Eden. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Disobeying God always has sad consequences, and this is seen clearly in the above referenced verses. We ignore Scripture to our detriment. As I consider these things, I am very conscious that I fail in many ways to follow what the Bible says. But that is no excuse, and I should make more effort to be obedient. I am aware that what I say may upset some listeners, and, if that is the case, do not shoot the messenger, but prayerfully search the Scriptures yourself. Even the Bereans in Acts 17 did not accept what Paul said without checking out the Scriptures first. The impact on the world. If Eve's failure in the Garden of Eden had what might be considered by some to have a detrimental and restricting effect upon godly women, then in this section we will see the greater impact relative to Adam's failure. Let us read from Romans chapter 5. The free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offence resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offences resulted in justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offence judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul, writing to the Christians at Rome, the same writer to Timothy, considers Adam as the one who has caused the problem of bringing sin into the world, as verse 12 states. By one man, sin entered into the world. In the book of Romans, Adam is the guilty person because he had the responsibility to care for and protect his wife. But Adam failed miserably. The consequence of Adam's failure was that sin entered the world, and as a result, death came upon every person. Sinning is as easy as falling off a log, and it takes no effort at all. This whole sad situation is summed up with the statement in verse 14 that death reigned. The evidence is all over this world with cemeteries and crematoriums. Death is feared by multitudes. From verse 15, Paul starts to write about deliverance from this hopeless situation by introducing the remedy that God has provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. This remedy is God's free gift based on grace. In chapter 1, Paul introduces the remedy in this way: the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This gift, the gospel, is God's salvation to liberate from the penalty for sin, death. Let us list the positives that God's gospel has available. It's good news, the meaning of the word gospel. Christ made it possible. It shows God's power to save. It requires a true believing. It is available to all. This salvation maintains God's righteousness, and it requires the intended recipients to have faith. What is faith? It is taking God at his word. We find then, as we return to chapter 5, that one man, Adam, had brought in death to reign over this whole world. We now find that God had a different man in mind, Jesus Christ, to bring in life righteously. It was essential that God's righteousness was not compromised. Therefore, Jesus Christ had to pay the price for your salvation. Salvation is open to all, but it only becomes mine on the basis of faith. Have you believed? Is Jesus your Saviour? Are you covered by the sacrifice of Christ? The victory that Christ has achieved means that it is possible for you and me to know with certainty that we are safe and secure for all time and eternity. Thank you for listening.